Well, this is one of the most fascinating things about the book. Where do you start in wanting to make new rituals? There were certain aspects which are, in a sense, prescribed by Christian doctrine, Christian practice altogether. So the communion includes words that are there in the New Testament, baptism similarly. So certain things that you can't get away from. But in other respects, the composition of the Book of Common Prayer is quite piecemeal, eclectic, taking things from different places. The most surprising from our point of view now is just how much of it is actually translated from Latin ritual. So the Sarum Missal, the Sarum being the Latin for Salisbury, which just describes the most commonly used English mass book that was being printed in large numbers in the early 16th century, a very, very familiar book, that was taken as the first kind of basis for creating a communion service in English. But the interesting thing is that it's often as much what you leave out as what you put in which makes a difference. So if you take the start of morning prayer, it begins with the Lord's Prayer. But there's a difference even there, in the sense that in the medieval rite, the priest says that to himself quietly. In the English Book of Common Prayer, he turns around, faces the congregation, and says it out loud. And we see in a loud voice, and we think that's just an everyday expression, but actually in a loud voice is a declaration, this has a different function. The Lord's Prayer should then be followed by the Ave Maria, but any connotation of devotion for the Virgin Mary was very problematic and controversial for Protestants, and so of course that's removed. Now if you imagine the very first congregation for these services, they would notice the things that are being left out just as much as the things that are there. But as well as the Latin ritual, it's quite clear right from the beginning that Cranmer and others who were putting, and for that matter German theologians beforehand, were interested in re-examining Latin ritual and thinking a little bit about other kinds of old source. And if you go to the 17th century edition, there's an enormous interest in other forms of liturgy, sometimes older forms of liturgy than were found in the medieval ritual. And then I suppose a third aspect, right from the beginning, was the use of German Protestant material. So there were various kinds of new forms of public worship that had been invented in Germany and were incorporated in a kind of mix and match way with the Latin rite, so that you have a kind of composite text that develops out of that. But some things I think that we now are so familiar with are some of the most interesting aspects of this. I mean, if you take something as fundamental as the Lord's Prayer, we now, of course, the Lord's Prayer has gone through its own whole process of revision in the last 20 or 30 years. So we can get some sense of the sensitivity of this, that an older generation is horrified by some of the aspects of the new form of saying the Lord's Prayer. There are people who find saying you in the Lord's Prayer still a difficult thing. It was first introduced into an English public version of the Lord's Prayer as recently as the 1960s, in fact, in New Zealand. We can transfer that back to the way that the Lord's Prayer felt, as it were, rather than just was said in the period of the Reformation, that it was only by the mid-1540s that the exact wording that was then used in the Book of Common Prayer became, as it were, sort of certified. The Lord's Prayer, of course, was used in English throughout the Middle Ages. There are Anglo-Saxon versions of the Lord's Prayer, as well as being as versions in Chaucer's medieval English. But they're subtly different in terms of their wording from what you would find as it developed through the 1530s, 1540s. There are about 13 or 14 or 15 different versions of the Lord's Prayer that are used in different texts in that 20-year period before 1549. Once it's there in 1549, it never changed. It carried its own sort of sacred aura around it. So in 1662, you might be able to revise various things, but you certainly couldn't change the wording of the Lord's Prayer. And it's right there into the 20th century. These are the words that we say, hallowed be thy name, even though I don't suppose many of us use the word hallowed in any other circumstance than that. And strangely enough, even though the Lord's Prayer was revised for common usage in the 1960s and thou was turned to you, it still says, hallowed be your name. And again, you know, I sometimes wonder how many people in the street really know what hallowed means and how you would use it in that kind of semi-imperative form.